Good morning, everybody. I was going to write some notes down and everything, but someone told me yesterday that I should just speak from the heart. So I'm going to let God work through me to get my message out, my testimony. Early in life, I was introduced to the Holy Spirit at church. It was a feeling, incredible feeling that I got. And I know since that day, God's been with me. You know, no matter what I've gone through, he's been with me. My upbringing was a little bit dysfunctional. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. My family members all around me were into illicit dealings, and my father was an addict. Addictions of all kinds. Anything you can imagine, my dad probably had that addiction. So thinking about it now, I'm like, I was like one strike was already against me. I feel like that. I feel like I grew up not the way I should have grown up. And at times I get emotional about that because I wish I had a different upbringing. But it's all in God's plan, and I think that I had to go through a lot of things so I could help people with my things that I grew up with. So I followed my father's footsteps. All kinds of addictions led me to places and paths and dark corners. Anything you can imagine. I grew up in Houston, so my addictions led me to bad decisions. I was no longer the kid that I used to be, the kid who used to watch TV and cry over TV when the kids from Africa needed something to eat. And I still had good thoughts in my heart and said, I'm going to be somebody successful, and I'm going to help these kids, and I'm going to send money. I wanted help, and I would bawl myself to sleep just thinking about kids that didn't have something to eat. Well, this person was lost. Addictions will make you somebody that you are not supposed to be. Changes you. So I battled through addictions all my teen years. I started when I was 14. I was out of the house by 14. I moved from relative to relatives. And it was the same thing everywhere. All my relatives were addicts and stuff, and it seemed like my path was headed that way. I've lost two uncles to overdoses, and I miss my uncles. They had good hearts, but these addictions got them. And when as I continued through life, I was really hard into my addiction, which is drugs, and I got down on my knees one night, and I asked God, there's got to be something more to life than feeding my flesh, feeding my anger towards my father, feeding sorry for myself, feeling pity. You know, there's got to be something more than this. So I got down on my knees, and I prayed, and I asked God, put people in my path that are going to help me get out of where I'm at. And he did. I ended up in a drug rehab in McAllen. It's called PADAP. And that was my first taste of sobriety in the longest time, like since 14 all the way to, I think, 26. I hadn't had a break from drinking or drugs, so it was really different. I made good friends. We had this little pack, and we'd go. I learned the 12 steps. I learned about my higher power, and my higher power was Jesus Christ. And we'd jump from church to church. We'd go to Baptist church one Sunday. We'd go to a non-denominational church on a different day, and I was sober. And I and I claim victory. I claim victory over all these addictions. And then I started helping people. I became a sponsor. Started helping the kids, you know, how to get out of where they're at. So everything was going really good for me, but I had character flaws. And it's not just about me getting rid of all these addictions. And now it's about fixing me, who I became. You know, I was an angry person. I was selfish still. I held on to certain things, you know. So all these things were going to cause me to relapse and get away from where I was at. And it did. It did. I'm back at it again. And it was hard. I felt like a failure. I felt like I let God down. I felt like there was no coming back. I'm nobody. And then I got married, and that marriage was a complete disaster because of both of us. Both of us had something to play into that. So I divorced, and I met my daughter's mother, and I had a child with her, and my life just started changing. I saw everything in a different perspective. I wanted to be not my father. I wanted to be a Christian man who can give something to my kids that my father couldn't give me. And that was my number one motivation. And of course, I had to learn first that it was about me. I had to fix myself. I had to become the Christian man, the person that God intended me to do. And as I'm standing here, I am a broken man, and God's putting me back piece by piece. And he could do that for any one of us, and he's doing it. And I see it. I see God at work in this church. That's why I'm here. You know, God, I drove by when I came down here, and something told me, you know, it's time. It's time, Joe. You know, you've made all the excuses. You hold on to things you don't want to give up. If you want to do it right, today. Make the right decision today. And that's what I try to do every day. I try to make the right decision. I'm not perfect, but God is perfect. Amen. And God, with his help, I have hope that he will not make me perfect, but keep me hungry and searching for him. And I feel like I have come home with his arms open wide, embracing me again, like when I was a kid, when he used to embrace me. With all the chaos that was going around me, I felt his peace. I feel his peace now. It's up to me to be intentional in what I do, to keep on that path. And the Lord has revealed a lot of things to me, you know. But I have to have patience because I'm not ready. He's going to tell me when I'm ready. And I have a lot of ideas of what I want to do and how I'm going to help, but I can't start that till he puts me all back together again and gives me the strength and wisdom, most of all, to make all these things a realization in my life. I thank Pastor Elias. I thank everybody here. I thank Tuesday prayer meetings. And these help. Tuesday prayer meetings, I come in tired. I come in after soccer. I come in after work, everything. And I try to make it. Sometimes I'm late, but I try to make it because it's good for my soul. It's good for my spirit, and it renews me every time. You know, I need that midweek renewal of worshiping and sharing. And I thank God, because before I couldn't share. I couldn't share nothing at all. I kept everything bottled inside. And it's a good feeling to share, to get it out. Okay? And that's God at work in my life. Because without him, I wouldn't be up here. Okay?
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So great to hear testimony of what God's doing. Stretch your hand this way. Let's pray. Lord, this is a tremendous testimony of how you take what the enemy meant for harm and turn it into victory. Lord, we see the victory. We see, Lord, that Jose has made a determination in his heart, no more, that he's going to go meet that calling and fulfill that destiny in his life. And he's wise enough to know that it's a process, and he's in it. And it's a good process. Lord, bless him. Bless his family. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jose. Praise the Lord. Again, give him a clap. Offering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good when you don't have to hear your pastor all the time? God's good. But I got a little quick sermon for you. It is quick, but we'll see. And I'm going to do a two-part series. Maybe three, I don't know yet. At least two, this week and next week. About a good ground. And I believe what Jose has testified is a product of good ground coming into fruition. Amen? Good ground. As we continue to challenge our hearts to be people of substance, this summer has been about substance over style and people who set things right according to God's word. You know, sometimes as a pastor, when you begin to press people, set everything right, be person of substance, sometimes that's dangerous in a church because people get uncomfortable. Amen? Like, you know, just tell me about how Jesus died for me every day, every time, and how good, and everything's wonderful. Just tell me that. But the reality about the Christian walk is that we need to be honest with ourselves. Amen? And the thing that brings out who you are the most is when you're going through stuff. When you're going through hard times, when you're going through stuff, it reveals your character. Where do you turn to? Where do you run? And some people, the people respond in different ways. But, you know, as I started this summer, set things right according to God's word in your heart. Not in your own power. You can't do it in your own power. But go to the power source. Go to Jesus Christ. Go to the cross. Go to your knees and say, Lord, I want to set things right, but I don't see it. I can't. I don't have the power. That's okay. Leave it with him. Let him do that. And there's always a danger in that. But, you know, as I keep praying about God, what do we teach? Where do we go as a church? What is the foundation of who we are? We cannot be afraid to confront ourselves, our hearts, who we are, our motives. People of substance, they do that. People that are setting things right are not afraid to look at their hearts. Here is a little secret that I have found to be true in my life. In secret, when you're in your closet praying, be critical of your motives to yourself. Get in that closet and look critically down in your heart. Why do I do what I do? What am I doing? Am I really putting God first in my life? Be critical with yourself in those quiet, secret moments and ask God to empower you, to change you. But publicly, we don't have to beat ourselves over the head every day. We are children of God. And we can be confident that we're children of the kingdom. We are new in Jesus Christ. Your old sinful nature is dead and buried. You see, this used to be like hard for me. Like, Lord, I have to keep analyzing my heart, but I can't publicly keep analyzing my heart critically. So I've learned a little secret. When you're in alone with God, be critical of your heart. Say, what is in there? What's your motive? But publicly, don't be ashamed of who you are. You're new in Christ. You're right standing before God. Your sins are under the blood. We're not perfect, but we're being perfected. We're not ashamed of that. It's who we are. And that helped me separate, you know, beating yourself over. Lord, help me. I'm not perfect. No, you can do that in the closet. But we can continue to proclaim how good He is in our lives. People of substance are not afraid to analyze the motives of their hearts. And today we're going to study the parable that does just that. What is the motive of your heart? Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. We're only going to go to one scripture today. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. I want to challenge you this morning because we're free. We're free. As we learned, we sang this morning and we prayed this morning. We are free to approach life and know that we're going to rise above the waters. We are free. And we're free to analyze our hearts and be critical of our own motives without thinking, oh, I must not be a Christian because I've got so many faults. No. Being honest with God is a good thing. Being honest with yourself is a good thing. So in Luke chapter 8, I want to talk about your heart. Let's read 8 verse 4 through 15. We all know this parable. Let me read through it. And when much people were gathered around Jesus, came out to the city, Jesus spoke a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow a seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it didn't have any moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and it choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, Jesus said unto them, it is for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. And so Jesus tells them, here's what the parable means. The parable means this. The seed that was thrown is the Word of God. So here we have a picture of a seed representing the Word of God. And to summarize the Word of God, it is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? That's a good summary of the Word of God, isn't it? Even the Old Testament points to Jesus. And the New Testament points to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, who is here now, points us to Jesus. So the seed is the Word of God, the good news of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Word of God also shows us what sin is and what righteousness is and what's right and what's wrong. In verse 12, those by the wayside, so those that the seed that fell on the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So there is a seed that falls on the wayside, or stony ground is another way, like a sidewalk. When a seed falls on a sidewalk, more than likely, it's going to get picked up by a bird and it's going to get taken away by the enemy. And you may know some people like this, where you just, your loved ones that you're just like, here's the good news, and they're just like, right? It's like putting a seed on a sidewalk. We're going to call it stony ground, just for the wayside or stony ground. I believe that there's nobody, I pray nobody here has that heart where you hear the good news and you just like, means nothing to you. And then we have verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. So here we have rocky ground. So when you throw a seed on rocky ground, it can grow. Sometimes we get upset when we put rocks around our flower beds, and then these things start growing right through the rocks, right? It frustrates us, right? We don't like that. But we know it can grow. So this seed fell on like rocky ground. And it says here that they received it with joy. Like the good news, the seed represents God's word. They received the good news. And they received it with joy. It brought them joy. And verse 13 says, they heard it with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe in a time of temptation. Now, the time of temptation doesn't always, mean, you know, tempted like with sin and lust and temptation. Temptation in the Word of God also means trials. Temptations, trials. And when things start getting hard in life, it says here, temptation comes, they fall away. You know some people like that? They receive the word with joy, but things just start, life hits them, and they fall away. They just go back to what they were. And that's rocky ground. Now, verse 14 talks about a thorny ground. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. No fruit to perfection. I found this interesting, thorny ground. Now, pay attention to these because I'm going to ask you at the very end, which heart are you? And that's that honest, critical part I was talking about. Really analyzing your heart. So these that have fell on thorny ground, they heard it, but the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, they brought no fruit to perfection. So this seed fell on thorny ground, but they get so preoccupied with life, so busy with sin they don't want to deal with, and it brings no fruit to perfection. It's interesting as I read this one how it was a little different. Notice that it didn't say it brought no fruit. It just said that it didn't bring the fruit to perfection. Have you ever, when I was young, I had a neighbor who had an orange tree. And they had beautiful, you know, orange looking. And I grabbed one time and, don't eat that. Why? I opened it up. It was so sour. Oh, now I know. You know how you're supposed to graft them or something? I guess this tree wasn't grafted right. And it was just an orange tree. They looked beautiful, but they were so sour. And when I read this, it brought me to that. There are people that have received the seed, the word of God, and they're trying to live the life, but something, they're busy with putting, they're not putting God first because they're too busy with life. So you may produce something, but it's tart. It's not perfected. It says here they bring no fruit to perfection. When I read this, I thought of that religious spirit. That things look good. It looks like a good fruit, but something is not in order in the life. That's the dangerous one. In the sense that we think all is well. Remember that scripture where Jesus says, the person says, I did this for you, I did that for you, I did this for you. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Your fruit never came to perfection. And analyze your heart this morning. And I want to hit the last one because it's the best one. And then the seed. So let's recap the three so far. The seed that fell on the stony ground means you're just not interested in the good news. The seed that fell on the rocky ground, we receive it with joy, but life hits us and we just get swept away. And the thorny ground where we receive the word and we just don't produce fruit to perfection because the world, the thorns are crowding us and we're just too busy with putting God first. And then you have verse 15. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, they keep the word, and they bring forth fruit with patience. Oh, that patience is so important. Amen? You start living for God and you get excited about what God's doing, and then you got to be patient from victory to victory. But patience. So, good ground, the word, we keep it, we bring forth fruit. And the patience is important. So now let's review them quickly as I'm going to get ready to conclude here. But let's review. So analyze your heart this morning. You hear God's word, the good news. Which one are you? Stony ground, no time for God. Rocky ground, just get distracted from the trials of life. Thorny ground, producing sour fruit. Or good ground, producing good fruit. Have you heard the good news and not been impacted? It's time to change that. Have you heard the good news and you got distracted with trials of life? It's time to change that. Have you heard the good news and you producing unperfected fruit? It's time to change that. But this morning I pray, if you've heard the good news, that you find yourself getting excited about godly things. Amen? That's how you know your heart, really. When you hear godly things, godly opportunities, godly being in His presence, being in church, even though you're having a bad week, I want to be in God's presence. That's when you know your heart is ripe and good, because you want to be where God is. Finding yourself getting excited about godly things, about serving others, about caring for others, about growing in the knowledge and in wisdom. If that's you this morning, where you get excited and you want more, you're passionate and intentional about growing, kind of like Jose was testifying, I want to keep going. Then get ready to change the world around you, because it is good ground that changed the world. It is 12 men, 11, and then they added one, if you know Book of Acts. 12 men, the disciples, that changed the world because they were good ground. My prayer and my hope for every individual in this church that's hearing this, maybe online, my hope is that every family, every person will not settle for anything less than good ground. Amen? It is powerful when you have believers begin to die to self and be vulnerable to God and produce good fruit and be good ground. It is powerful. It is good ground that changes lives. It is good ground that changes the world. It is good ground hearts that will bring hope to the community around us. It is good ground that can love like God loves. It is good ground that brings hope. It is good ground that gives us faith to believe that all is possible. And that we're going to rise above our trials, our circumstances. We're going to rise above the waters. It's good ground that begins to live that. It's good ground. As I said when I started, it can be dangerous. I don't mean dangerous in a bad way, because it's all good. To begin to challenge people to look inside in their hearts, set things right before the Lord, be people of substance, which is another way of saying good ground. Good ground. Now, I usually get after Alyssa when, not after her, but I remind her, be careful. You can't get after your wife. Have you tried it? It doesn't work. But I remind her, hey, be careful when you're preaching, when you mention people's names, because, you know, they she's like, I'm sorry, it just comes out. You know? Well, you got to be who you are, right? So next time Alyssa's preaching, your name might get mentioned, and don't take it personal. God's good. But I'm taking the risk today because on Tuesday, Aisa brought some words. It's a good embarrassment, Aisa. I'm sorry. It's a good embarrassment. She brought some words, and she said, I wrote these down, and I heard them, and I said, I want a picture of them. There was something about them that I just wanted to pray over them. And one of them, all of them, really, they're awesome. But I wanted just to mention one of them today as it pertains to good ground. You know, when you begin to have that heart, the good ground heart, the surrender to God heart, then all your pain of this world, it gets drowned. But your pain doesn't ever really go away. But it turns from defeat to victory. Amen? And the phrase that, one of the parts of the phrase that Aisa had written down, I wrote down here. And it's this. It was written this way. There is power in your story. Give your pain a voice. I thought that was very powerful. Because the voice that ends up coming out of our past is a voice of victory. It's a voice of rising above. It's a voice that what God has got me through. It's a voice, really, if you think about it, giving honor and glory to God even through the pain. Give it a voice. Isn't that beautiful? Give it a voice of victory. A voice that the enemy is defeated. A voice that what he meant for harm, God turns to victory. See, people with a good ground heart, don't just say these words. It begins to be who we are. Amen? And that's why as you grow in the Lord, you're going to find yourself able to cope and help other people because you are not just speaking words that you memorize. You are speaking life that you lived. And that your pain now has a voice. And the voice is to give honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Isn't that, I just thought of this and I just said, Lord, everyone has that. Everyone has pain. But let's give it the voice of victory. We will not be defeated. Amen? We are determined to be good ground. And that's my prayer. We'll all stand. We're going to dismiss. But I want you to take this with you. I hope you wrote something down or you have a thought. But take this with you today. Be good ground. Don't let the enemy snatch that seed away. Don't let it be choked by the thorns. Don't let it get too busy in life that it has no foundation. Let this seed land on good hearts and good grounds. And just let God do what he does. Changing us. Changing us from the inside out. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we are your people. We have faults. We're imperfect. But Lord, we have come to recognize that you are at work in our hearts. You are at work. And I pray every person in this place, no matter what they're battling, no matter what they're going through, Lord, that we will begin to rise above and begin to see things how you see them. Lord, you see kingdom. You see victory. You see souls coming to repentance and giving their lives to you. You see us. The congregation leading people to Jesus Christ. Lord, you see what you see. Let us see that, Lord. Let us see that when we go out to the colonias to bless or put a smile on a family's face, to have shoes. Lord, let us find the joy that's in that. we are good hearts, Lord. And we find joy in seeing godly things. So, Lord, go with us. Make us stronger. Lord, just as Jose testified, he's been through a lot, but Lord, there's a lot yet to come. And you're preparing us for something so much bigger than any one of us. And we receive that, Lord. We receive that today. Lord, we want to be good ground, producing good fruit. And we are determined to change the world around us. Yes, life will get busy. Yes, life will throw us trials. But one thing remains. Your love never fails. It remains. And we are a church that's a gateway. They will know who we are by our love for one another. Lord, this is going to be a week where you're going to continue to mold us and shape us and be there every step of the way. So Lord, be with us as a church, as families, and bring us back strong. In Jesus' name.